Please turn with me to Ephesians and to chapter 6, the epistle to the Ephesians and chapter 6. We'll read from verse 10 to verse 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Tonight, we are continuing the series in Ephesians that we have been doing over the last several months, and more particularly, we're considering the pieces of the armor of God. These gifts that God has given us in our fight against the devil and his minions, a fight which is very real, a fight which is day by day, and a fight which I think sometimes we don't even recognize is going on around us, even though we confess that it is. A couple of weeks ago, we considered the belt of truth, and tonight we're considering the breastplate of righteousness. We read there in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having put on the breastplate of righteousness," or you could translate it, "Stand therefore by putting on the breastplate of righteousness." One of the ways we stand is by putting on this breastplate. And the breastplate is a most vital piece of the armor. If you think about it, what is it doing? It's covering some of the most important parts of the body. It's covering the heart and the stomach and other elements of the core of our bodies. And so it is with righteousness. This is absolutely core to our understanding of Christianity. What it is, how we receive it, and the place that it has in our day-by-day walk with our Lord, our fight against the devil, and our lives in all their many facets. We need, brothers and sisters, daily to rest in the imputed righteousness of Christ. We need to be growing in the infused righteousness of Christ day by day, because the devil is strong and he is no fool. So tonight, my title is simply Breastplate of Righteousness, Breastplate of Righteousness, and my points are righteousness. Righteousness is our defense. Righteousness is our defense. And put on. Put on. As we come to this first point, the first thing to say is that this righteousness is Christ's righteousness. We've already seen that this armor is, in fact, not just an armor that is given to us that's somehow disconnected from Christ, but this is actually Christ's armor. We saw in Isaiah 59 how Christ put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, and Paul is picking up on passages like that to say this is Christ's armor, and so indeed this is Christ's righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. And we receive his righteousness in justification as it is imputed to us, and we also receive it in sanctification as it is infused in us and as we grow more and more into the righteous image of our Savior. It is imputed to us, and that is clear from many places in Scripture, but we read in 2 Corinthians 5, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And so what I want to do tonight, just for the next several minutes, is to think with you about this righteousness of Christ that is our breastplate. And I want you to think about the fact that this righteousness reaches every thought and every movement of the heart. What we're talking about here is Christ in his life and how he displayed and lived out righteousness. And it wasn't only in a general sense. Oftentimes we just think of it like that. Oh yeah, he lived a righteous life. Moving on now. But stop with me and think about the fact that every single thought that our Lord ever had was perfectly righteous. Every movement of the heart was perfectly righteous. The deepest recesses of who he is righteous. We read in Hebrews, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners." More than that, his righteousness fulfills God's law to the max. You know, he said when he was on earth, he said to John the Baptist that he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. We read in Hebrews again, "Behold, I have come to do your will." That's Christ speaking to the Father. Christ's righteousness doesn't just check most of the boxes. It fulfills God's law to the max. And of course, this comes from an idea that we can obey God, but not fully. In our age of lack of precision, sometimes we forget this. But what God requires is not just sincere obedience. What God requires is not just 95% obedience, but what God requires is 100% obedience, always, all the time. And that is exactly what our Lord's righteousness is, what he did here on this earth. More than that, his righteousness is complete. There was never, ever a millisecond of time in our Lord's time on this earth where he was not acting perfectly righteous. There was no lapse. There was no little gap. You know, sometimes in a recording, there might be something that goes wrong with the recording equipment, and there's a little hole in it, right? You know, you get the recording and it's going along, and then there's a little hole and then it comes back. Christ's righteousness is not like that. It was complete. He was always, ever acting righteously. And it is absolutely unassailable. You know, when the chief priests sought to bring a charge against him, there weren't loads of people around who they could find even to say that he'd done something minor. In fact, they had to make up things, right, to throw at him, because there was absolutely nothing that they could pin on him. He was pure. He was righteous. And there was no way that they could assail that in any way. They would have liked to, right? They were his sworn enemies. They wanted to get anything on him that they could, but there was nothing for them to put their hands on. His righteousness was absolutely unassailable. It is acceptable before God. And we see that perhaps most powerfully in his resurrection. He died, he was in the grave 3 days, and the Lord raised him up. Death had nothing on him because he was absolutely spotless and righteous. And the Lord accepted his righteousness and raised him up and seated him at his right hand. And as we receive this righteousness imputed to us, it is something that we receive by faith, as we'll think about a little bit more later on, but it is not mixed with anything of ours. All of this is a long way to say that his righteousness is absolutely perfect. And this is really important, brothers and sisters, because this is our only right to stand before God. And it is the defense that we'll see in a moment as the devil assails us. So it should be our desire, as with the Apostle Paul, to be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, or our own works, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. There's also righteousness in the sense of infused righteousness. This is Christ's perfect life, perfect thoughts, perfect heart, perfect mind, perfect reactions, perfect you name it, that is worked in us as we are sanctified. So as we go through life, as the Spirit is working in us, he is making us more like Christ. And this is the Spirit taking his perfect righteousness and working it in us, infusing it in us as we seek to be like him. We read in Romans, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." We are being transformed more and more into the image of Christ. Righteousness worked in us. And this happens as we're connected to Christ, like a vine branch is connected to the vine. And just as the sap of the vine goes into the branches and it bears fruit, so we more and more take on the character of our Lord in union with him. And so, as one writer put it, to have on the breastplate of righteousness means not only that we rest by faith upon Christ's righteousness, but also that we allow those doctrines to work deeply in our hearts, and therefore to produce fruit in our lives. The breastplate is Christ's righteousness imputed to us, that is put to our account, not because of anything we have done, but accounted to us, and also in us. But all of this is a foundation to recognizing righteousness as our defense. You see, brothers and sisters, the devil wants to take advantage of confused ideas. He wants to confuse us. He wants to whisper in our ear that somehow the righteousness of God is lacking. Of course, we would never say that, right? We're good Reformed Christians. We would never say that the righteousness of Christ is lacking. But the devil, in various ways, will big up our sin, will cause us only to look at God's wrath against sin, and rather than his promises of mercy to contrite sinners, or many other things which devalue the righteousness of Christ. And it is knowing that Christ's righteousness is perfect in all the ways that we've talked about that gives us a great defense against these confused ideas. The devil also wants to weigh us down with guilt. Of course, it's right to feel guilty for things that we have done, that we might seek repentance and forgiveness and to turn from these things. But when we have done that, we are not unnecessarily to be weighed down with guilt. The devil wants to heap us with shame, to cause us to be defined by our sins. On the other hand, the devil wants to distract us from heart matters and make our religion all a matter of outward righteous acts that we can do ourselves, that we can do in terms of coming to church, in terms of looking like we've got our life all together, and which are attainable by us. And so cause us to slide into a works-based attitude and mindset. But again here, against these things, righteousness is our defense. When the devil comes to us and tells us of our guilt, if we have confessed and repented, what do? We tell him of the perfect righteousness of Christ. We say, devil, can you match that? Do you see the wonderful, beautiful righteousness of Christ? Do you know just how deep and wide it is? And you think that it can't cover this sin of mine? We say to the devil, shame is not mine. That is not what defines me, because I am hid in Christ and his righteousness. And we see that outward church attendance or having our life look like it's together is no replacement for the kind of righteousness that we have seen in Christ, that alone is acceptable to our God. The devil wants to use doubt to make us think, could God really love me in the face of this? Have you ever thought that in the face of a particularly heinous sin which you have committed? But again, righteousness is our defense. You think of Paul, the worst of sinners. Christ's righteousness was enough to cover his sins. In fact, he became the great herald of righteousness by faith. The devil wants to use discouragement about our circumstances, about our sins, to take us off Christ. But again, righteousness is our defense. If we are enamored with the beauty of Christ's righteousness, if we know that that is our firm foundation before God, that is our hope for everlasting days to come, that we will have the ability to look at the circumstances, however difficult they may be, and see them in the proper perspective, standing on the righteousness of our Lord. And we will also be able to see that however discouraging our sins might be, that they do not define us. The devil also would sometimes want us to think that emotions, this religion, or that we're doing well when we have an emotional high, or we're doing worse when it is emotionally low. But righteousness is something objective. Righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, does not increase when we feel better about it, nor does it become less when we are more discouraged. No, Christ's righteousness is firm and sure and cannot be increased or diminished. And the devil also wants to tempt us to all sorts of sin. But if we are having Christ's righteousness worked in us more and more, then we're talking about the infused righteousness here, we will be more inoculated, as it were, against his temptations. Our desires will be less for the things of this world and less for sin. The pursuits that we have chosen will be better suited to make us strong against those temptations and many more things. But the infused righteousness of our Lord is a great defense against the temptations of the devil. So in these and many other ways, righteousness is our defense. And so thirdly, I would exhort you to put it on. In terms of imputed righteousness, on Christ by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the alone instrument of our justification. And faith is not counted as work, but it is nothing of us. It is the instrument because it has nothing of us in it. And even faith itself is worked by the grace of God. By faith we receive and rest on Christ alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. And this is what we must do each and every day, brothers and sisters. If you're in Christ, you have done this. If you're not, you ought to do this. But every day we ought to wake up and afresh receive and rest upon Christ. Because there will be new temptations that day. And so each day, each hour, we put on this breastplate by acting faith, as the old Puritans would say, on Christ. But also in terms of infused righteousness, we are to seek the righteousness of Christ by the Spirit. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We are to be filled with the Spirit that we might look more like Christ. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, as no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are to be seeking day by day, hour by hour, after the righteousness of Christ. That when the devil comes to tempt us, that we might not be easy prey for him. That we might be strong against his temptations. You know, it's often been said that the temptations of the devil against Christ must have been extremely strong because he did not give in. And so the devil would have had to ratchet them up to the highest extent. And it's also true for us that as we more and more reflect Christ, that we then will be stronger against his temptations. We will no longer fall for his easy tricks, but we will be more and more able to withstand. So we are to put on this breastplate of righteousness by resting in Christ, by faith, and by seeking his righteousness. How do we do that? Well, first, we are to see our need. This righteousness will seem of little value to you unless you see the utter blackness of your sin, unless you see how much God hated so much that it took the Son of God to die for it. You will not see your need for this righteousness unless you see that even your best deeds, as we read this morning, are as filthy rags, or still have something of sin mixed in with them. That your sin goes down to the very core of who you are, into your very heart and into your very mind. And it is only when you see this that you will hunger and thirst for this righteousness afresh. And you will then long to put on this breastplate. You will feel naked and exposed without it. You will know that you have no hope without it. But having seen your need, you are to rest in righteousness. Rest in Christ daily. Rest in the midst of your doubt, in your discouragement. You are to have the Word of God that speaks of His righteousness to hand. Memorize scriptures related to it, that you might be able to have them at your fingertips, ready to use when the devil comes your way. And you are to pray. Pray that your faith would be increased. Pray that your graces would be increased. Pray for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon you in greater measure. And you are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek it in the preaching of His word, seek it in the reading of His word, seek it in the sacraments, seek it in fellowship with God's people. But seek to reflect your Savior and His righteousness. And as you do, you will more and more put on this breastplate. You will more and more know its defense and stand against the wiles of the evil one. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for this breastplate, your Son's righteousness. We thank you that there is nothing that we can do to earn it. We thank you that it has been given to us by imputation once for all, and that no one can bring a charge against your elect because we are defended by it. We pray also, Lord God, that you would help us and to increase in Christ's likeness and therefore be better able to withstand the devil. Oh Lord, that is our desire. That is what we long for. We want done with the futile ways of this world, and we want to be strong against the fear and doubt and discouragement that comes our way. O Lord, be patient with us. O Lord, be kind. O Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us and help us. We ask for your Son's sake. Amen.